The opinions voiced on this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.
Regardless of how you voted in these elections, the one thing that is very clear right now is that emotions are running very high on all sides. Could that be affecting your investment outlook? It is for a lot of people. We're going to talk about that today. It's what really matters. We start now. And welcome to What Really Matters. This is Peter McClellan, your host, along with Jeff Hyback of Strategic Equity Management. And Jeff, it's been a few weeks since we've had a chance to talk, together. And boy, it's been a crazy time. And I really was thinking that once the elections were done, that there'd be some, relative calm. And yet, it's just the opposite. Things are more topsy-turvy and emotional and crazy than before. So, anyway, well, what's your take on it? You've been talking to me on and off throughout the past couple of weeks, but not doing the podcast. Somebody made a comment to you about if you were banking on Hillary, your investments probably did well, and if you were banking on Trump, you probably did badly. What are you referring to in that? Let's open that up for people.
Yeah, I mean, it's so I would only want to say funny, just because I've seen a lot of people lose some money, and we've seen people hurt, and we've seen emotions all over the place, but it's an interesting observation that, first of all, for the second time this year, we've seen the polls get a populist movement completely wrong. The first time was with the Brexit vote.
True.
And, also they, I don't know if it's scaremongering or just not understanding the mechanisms behind the market, but remember, they all said, "Well, if Brexit actually does win, the market's going to collapse."
Right,
which
right.
It did for a couple of days, and then it was back at the highs in like 10. So, and then here we had all the doomsdayers saying, "If Trump wins, the market's going to get crushed." I mean, we heard Mark Cuban out there almost daily on Twitter, talking about how horrible Trump would be for the stock market. And I even saw Bloomberg, who's usually pretty moderate and right down the middle, scaremongering people into thinking that it would be the end of the markets as we knew it, just because of some of the rhetoric that the now President-elect Trump used on the campaign trail.
Hmm.
But you looked at people, and there were some hedge funders out there, billion-dollar investors who truly believed Trump was going to win, and they also believed it was bad for the market. So they put on some very big hedges, which means they were betting against the market.
Right. Meaning they would have made money had the market dropped.
Right. And on the converse side, there was people multi-billion-dollar investors. We know now that Wall Street was very much behind Hillary Clinton in terms of donations. And they were making big bets on what would happen, should she win, which was the market's going to take off because it's an extension of the Obama years that obviously have been very good for the stock market.
Continuity.
And so when you look at the net results of those predictions and how those investments have done, you would have thought that hands down Hillary Clinton won because the market is, minus on election night, the futures market being limit down, which meant they couldn't go down anymore because they were trying to keep some semblance of order.
Okay.
The market's just almost gone straight up. And it's the opposite of what they said. So again, if you had bet on President Trump and you positioned your portfolio that way, you got clobbered.
Right.
And this kind of goes back to, the what you said at the outset with you got to be careful of letting your opinions enter into the fray of what's going to happen, because I almost now, looking back at it, think that these people were just trying to scare voters into not voting for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, if he were to get his way, and if he truly believed some of the things that he said to get elected, and I personally, I've always felt, going back in, when did he first start with the, oh, all the birther movement stuff, what, 4 or 8 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Whenever that was. Mm-hmm. You know, he's always been more of a moderate type person where it's like he just kind of enjoys poking both sides of it. And you got to remember, he won the election, the Republican primary, by going against the Republican establishment.
True.
And a lot of those things that he suggested were more moderate, even leaning liberal. All the trade stuff is supported by the Democrats, you know, to get rid of the TPP and NAFTA, and, you know, doing something about currencies, China's currency manipulations. So those are all things that the Democrats believe in. And so I believe Trump pulled a lot of those middle of the road voters who were just fed up with both sides.
Yeah, and he must have, because it's obviously he got votes from both sides.
Yeah, exactly.
And I heard somebody say this week that they both parties really missed the underlying emotion of fear and somewhat anger of a big chunk of the American population that just felt nobody's really paying attention to them. So
so taking that into account and then looking at why the markets rallied so much, you know, we've seen financials take off like a rocket because they believe that Dodd-Frank is going to be repealed.
Yeah.
You saw healthcare stocks get crushed because they believe the Affordable Care Act is going to be repealed.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the infrastructure plays, you know, the big equipment manufacturers and basic industries just rocketing higher.
Yep.
And then, you know, you saw utilities getting clobbered. And it's, you got to remember, because he pulled from the moderate voters, he may not get his way in Congress. And so first off, you just look at the Republican side, and the what's left of the Tea Party movement is called the Freedom Caucus.
Yeah.
And just going into the election, and I think it hasn't changed much, but there's 3 to 4 members of the Senate that identify in this caucus. You get 1 or 2 more, and then all of a sudden, guess what? Trump doesn't have a majority. And go back to what the Tea Party was concerned with. And they didn't like the tax cuts and the bailouts for the wealthy. You know, they thought it was unfair of what was happening with Wall Street. And they also are gravely concerned about the deficit. And I don't care who you are, if you believe that simply going $1 trillion additional into debt to spend on infrastructure is going to turn our economy around to 4 or 5% growth, you're living in some sort of world that we don't have anymore.
Right.
It's simply not going to turn things around that much. And if you just believe you can cut the top tax bracket down to what I think he said, 33%, and, you know, bring back some money with only a 10% tax, that's going to be budget neutral. It's crazy. And so I doubt the Freedom Caucus is going to support that. And then I believe in the House, there's still 10 to 15 representatives, which now puts him right down the line of not even having the majority there,
mm-hmm.
which means he's going to have to pull from the Democrats, those in the middle, to get anything done. And so right there, you have some moderation as far as all the rhetoric goes. And you probably have moderation on the tax cuts, the spending, the repeal of Obamacare, the repeal of Dodd-Frank. You know, that's where we're at. And then on the potential downside is Congress, and I don't understand all the mechanisms of how trade agreements work, but he does have a little bit of freedom to tick off China and Mexico and a lot of our trade partners by implementing some things. He can't just bilaterally do a 50% tariff on China like he's proposed, but he can tweak some of the trade agreements. So those are, you know, in the hands of the executive branch.
Right.
And if that happens and then we start to have a tit for tat trade war, it's devastating. Yeah, it might bring more jobs, but the inflation rate would skyrocket in the US.
Sure. And that's the concern now is inflation anyway, right? Isn't that sort of nobody called it, but the bond market's gotten hammered the past 2 weeks. Tell us about that. Why are bonds getting so beat up?
Yeah, which is interesting because that's another thing that people were buying bonds if they expected Trump would win.
And
I mean, depending on the vehicle you use, you're looking at 7 to 10% losses in long-term treasury bonds.
Yep.
Just in what, 10 days now since the election. So that's huge. Those are stock type losses, and something that, you know, what people consider a risk-free asset class is definitely not risk-free. Mm-mm. And that you know, on the surface, everything Trump is proposing is inflationary, and inflation erodes the value of your bonds. It also means the Federal Reserve is likely to raise interest rates to try to rein that in. When yields go up, that's bad for bond prices. And that's what we're seeing happening. And then you make it even worse if you start to have a trade war. You get people maybe trying to sell some treasury bonds to try to, you know, counterattack something that the U.S. did. And it just turns into a big mess. So all of a sudden, you take it further. If you're borrowing another $1 trillion and you're also adding to the deficit by slashing tax rates, at some point, people aren't going to want to lend the U.S. any money. So it's
could reach that.
Nothing's
point.
Crystal clear.
No, yeah, nothing is. No, it's all foggy. And I guess I'm just I think that, you know, in all, you know, looking back, there were people I talked with after Obama got elected both times that were on the right, that were despondent, thinking it was going to mean curtains for the world as we know it. We're going down the tubes. And then there's people now that are kind of despondent and feeling we're going down the tubes, and, you know, and maybe reading too much into the political situation. And I just think, as far as investments go, that I'm detecting a bit of confusion. I yes, the market's overvalued. You've been saying that for a long time. I certainly agree. But it's not overvalued because of the politics. Well, to some extent it is. Obviously, the central banks have a big part to play in that. But I mean, because who wins an election doesn't mean it's overvalued or undervalued. And I guess, wouldn't you caution people on both sides of the aisle, the despondent ones as well as the giddy ones that think now they're going to get everything on their Christmas list and it's off to the races with the stock market?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, from that end, you know, what we saw all the time in your office and we saw it across the country was Republicans in general missed a lot of this rally because of their political views.
Right.
And now we could possibly see them. And I've heard people say this is going to be like the Reagan years all over again. Yeehaw, if the Republicans are in charge, it's not going to, like I just mentioned, it's not going to be easy. And Ronald Reagan came into an environment where the deficit, before he got a hold of it, was in line, and we had a bit of a surplus. And he was able to spend. We're already running a pretty high deficit, so the appetite for running an even larger deficit just in the name of economic growth is not going to be there, especially if it's not seen to be helping those people in the middle class.
Right, right.
So just jumping in now after possibly missing, you know, at least 5 of the last 7 years of a bull market, just because now your guy is the president is very foolish. But conversely, for the doomsdayers now on the left, go back to what the people on the right were saying about your president.
And right.
You know, I saw way too many conservatives thinking Obama was the Antichrist and he was going to institute martial law and tear up the Constitution. And, you know, he did some things that I disagree with, but, you know, all in all, it wasn't the doomsday that the Republicans thought would happen. And you got to remember, we have checks and balances for a reason.
Right.
You know, if it's not Congress, which, as I mentioned, is not going to be a piece of cake, where Republicans are going to get their policies pushed through easily, you do still have the judicial branch. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and remember, we got elections in 2 years.
It's true.
So and that's what happened to, you know, both Bill Clinton and Obama and George Bush was, you know, you get a little bit of a run and then people don't like how it's going, and it totally changes the direction of a presidency with that midterm election. So yeah. I, no matter what side you're on, I just control your emotions and think logically of remember, Washington moves extremely slow, slower than probably most of us would like.
True.
But it's sometimes not a bad thing that it takes that long.
Yeah, could be a positive that things aren't all abruptly changed overnight, you know. So, but I do think getting back to the basics on the investment side, there's some reason to be concerned. It sounds like big picture wise, I mean, you keep coming back to this, those 80-year cycles, they end in violence. What are we seeing? We're seeing some violence. I mean, not just nationwide, but around the world. People are unhappy. People are divided. They're at each other's throats on a number of fronts, whether it's race or whether it's religion, whether it's left, right, you know, whatever. There's a lot of tension. And I just think that does have a big play on people's emotions, how they perceive the future, if they feel threatened by the future, and how they want to invest. And I think it's really important to be in touch with those. But I also think it's important to be in touch with, you know, realistically, do we want to put everything under the mattress? I don't think so. By the same token, aren't there situations that people could invest in that would help maybe take advantage of some of the volatility? Or if we do see a significant decline, or if the bond market continues to get hammered and devalues as rates rise, are there ways of profiting from that instead of getting, you know, beat up by it? And I think these are all things that point to active management, which goes way beyond just giving you the traditional balance of bonds and stocks, or bond funds and stock funds. It really does. I mean, I think it's high time for a lot of people, especially boomers. Talked to a boomer this morning whose his biggest concern was, he has this schematic in mind that boomers are going to, in record numbers, start pulling more and more money out of the market. And I don't remember the dates he used exactly, but it was, you know, he has it set in his mind, this is how it's going to be. And I'm thinking, well, that may be the case. It's not going to certainly help the scenario. But again, I think if people have not really looked at the merits of active money management and how it can help mitigate the bigger losses and help capitalize sometimes on those losses of protection, and maybe even to a modest extent, profiting from the losses, but again, it's something people have to look at. And Jeff, at the 401k Latte Company, you know, we talk with a lot of people, and I tell people if they're local, come on in, stop and see us. We'll certainly talk about active management and strategic equity. If you're listening over the internet, you know, long distance, out of state, you definitely want to get a hold of Jeff or Tim McCain, and go to Jeff's blog. We didn't mention your blog much today, semtradersblog.com. And you'll see what Jeff's writing about. He's writing about stuff. I like that he writes about what's really going on and what's really affecting the market, the mood of the country, the mood of investors, and what's behind the emotions, why. And so it's good stuff, really good stuff. But we always encourage people to have a conversation. And what's the phrase we say?
We love to say invest in a conversation.
That's it. And do it soon.
You've been listening to What Really Matters with Peter McClellan, a chartered financial consultant with the 401k Latte Company in Lakeville, Minnesota. For a no-cost consultation or second opinion of financial issues, call us at 952-882-0400. That's 952-882-0400. Or visit us online at 401klatte.com. That's 401klatte.com. We want to remind you to invest in a conversation.